Okay, cool. We should be live. So hope you guys are having a great great Wednesday so far. So wanted to come on here and start this one off with talking about five really big mistakes, big fat loss mistakes that I see a lot of people make in the beginning of the year. It's January, you know, it's that time of year where people are motivated and they want to make a change. They want to start, you know, changing their body, whether it's lose body fat or just lean out, or tone up. But there are multiple mistakes that you could end up making in the beginning that kind of sets you up for failure long term. So I wanted to go over five of the most common. There are a number of other mistakes that I could include in this, but I don't want this to be a 2 hour long video or podcast. So we're going to just start with five of the most common mistakes that I see. So let's not waste any more time and let's go ahead and dive into these. So number one is committing to too many days of workouts in a given week. This is a huge problem that I see. So when I sign on a new client, there's this big questionnaire that they fill out where I get a ton of information on their past medical history, dieting history, medications they're taking, all this stuff. But there are also questions in there asking them how many days a week they are able to work out or how many days a week they can commit to working out, as well as questions regarding their gym access that they have or equipment at home that they have, what kind of, you know, weights they have or this or that. But one big question is, how many days a week can you commit to? And I find, especially in the beginning of the year during this time, people are so like amped up and so ambitious to get in the gym or start working out because they want to make, you know, this year, 2024, the year they finally achieve their fitness goal that they've been trying to achieve for so long, which I totally get. And I definitely admire that like inspiration to make this change because it's a big leap, right? Like if you've struggled with weight your whole entire life, every time you make a decision to actually start working towards that goal, like it's a big decision. But I find a lot of times people end up committing to too many days of workouts in the gym. Like they're like, you know, I'm going to commit to 5 days, or, you know, they searched online and found some 5 day split workout program, or they're following some kind of like workout program with like workout videos or something online, or maybe they're following some kind of like influencers like challenge or something to start the year. And the workouts are written out for like 5 or 6 days a week or something like that. And they commit to something, or they quote unquote commit, feel like they're going to commit to something like that. But they currently are only maybe even working out like maybe only working out. Sorry, I think there was an issue with, I don't know, something weird popped up on my computer, but I think we are still live streaming. So, but people end up committing to 5 to 6 days in the gym or working out when they, you know, previously maybe haven't been working out at all, or they've been working out maybe 1 day a week or 2 days a week. Appreciate you, Angela, keeping me up to date on stuff. So glad that I'm back. I don't know if I like just froze or if I like completely canceled out and, you know, came back to the live. I don't know, but good thing that we're back. So appreciate you. But, you know, they commit to way too many days in the gym. They, you know, are used to only working out 0 times, or maybe you're used to working out 1 or 2 times a week inconsistently, and now you're going to try to commit to 5. And I, like I said, I admire the ambition to want to do that. I admire the drive to want to do that. But like, if you're inconsistent with 1 or 2 days in the gym right now, how in the world do you think you're going to just like flip a switch and commit to 5? And most people aren't going to do that. Most people are going to end up saying they want to hit 5, end up hitting maybe 4 or 5 the first week. And they're like, you know what? You know, I missed maybe 1 workout this week. It did pretty well. And then, you know, the second week rolls around and they're still kind of feeling motivated. They're still feeling excited about the process. So they end up hitting the gym maybe 4 or 5 times that second week too. But then as the weeks go on, the like excitement out of this being like this new change starts to dwindle, or, you know, their home responsibilities with their kids or with work starts to add up and they start to get fatigued. And then they end up, you know, maybe the third or fourth week hitting the gym three times a week instead of the five they planned. And they end up skipping a workout here or there pretty much every single week. And they constantly feel like you constantly feel like you're always behind, or you're always playing catch up, and you're like, okay, I'm going to push my workout to tomorrow. I'll complete it tomorrow, but then something else happens tomorrow. And now you're 2 days behind on your workouts. And if you are trying to follow like a 5-day program a week and you end up being 2 days behind, now you're trying to cram in like three or four workouts in just like maybe a 3-day period, right? And you're like trying to double up your workouts to try to make up for it. So I find that for people who do not consistently work out already, and that might be you, which is totally fine, you're not going to be able to just flip a switch and commit to 5 days all of a sudden. You're probably going to have to start out smaller and start with maybe just 2 days a week, you know, or maybe 3 days a week. And I find that people find so much more success when they do that. Like when I sign on a new client, a lot of times I'll ask that question, and I'll, you know, in the questionnaire, and it'll ask, how many days a week can you commit to working out? And they'll say four. And I'll scroll up to a previous question on the questionnaire that asks, okay, what is your current activity level like? And they'll put on that question and they'll say, sedentary, I'm not engaging in any physical activity. I'm like, okay, so you're not currently engaging in any, and now you want to commit to four. Like, I appreciate that like drive and motivation, but it's probably an unrealistic jump. So a lot of times, even though a client will say they can commit to four, I'll actually start them off with three, maybe even two, if they are starting at a point where they aren't doing any currently, because it's a more realistic start, it's a more realistic jump, and it's going to set them up for success because they're going to be able to hit probably those 2 to 3 workouts. If they're saying they can commit to four, then hitting 2 or 3 is probably going to be pretty easy for them. And not only will they build consistency with that, and, you know, I'll be able to program a workout structure where, you know, the number of sets and the volume and the exercise distribution is good for, you know, 2 or 3 days, and they'll be able to stay consistent with that. But they'll also start to build, or you will also start to build confidence with that. And you'll be like, okay, I'm committing and promising myself that I'm going to hit the gym these 3 days. And boom, I went the whole week and I hit the gym 3 days, and it was pretty easy to fit my schedule. And I actually found myself on some of my rest days, like wishing I could go to the gym, like wishing Joey programmed more days in the gym for me. And that's what I want. Like, I want you to have a goal that is challenging, but something that is definitely doable for you, where you can step up to the plate and do it. Because that way you build that consistency, you build that confidence, and you don't feel like you're playing catch up with your workouts all the time. And there's like a big psychological component of setting a goal that's unrealistic for you and you constantly falling short with it and quote unquote failing with that goal every single week, and then you getting discouraged and giving up. If every single week you look at, you know, how many workouts you did and you're like, yeah, I skipped a workout every single week, or I skipped a couple of workouts every single week, you're gonna end up kind of telling stories, you know, whether you're conscious of it or it's subconsciously, but you're gonna tell stories to yourself of, oh, like I'm not following through and I'm not doing everything I need to do. And it's gonna eat at you, and it's gonna end up leading to frustration and probably giving up. So one of the biggest mistakes I see is people committing to too many days of workouts in the gym. You can see way better progress committing to 3 days a week in the gym, having a well-structured program for 3 days, being consistent with that, versus having a program that's 5 days in the gym each week and being inconsistent with that, and then constantly skipping days. Like, you're going to see much better progress sticking with the lower amount of days, but doing that consistently versus being inconsistent with higher amounts of days. So that is mistake number one, is committing to too many days in the gym each week. Mistake number two is cutting out specific food groups, or like whole entire food groups. So this is like the keto people, or low carb, or even like paleo if you're cutting out certain food groups, or maybe even you're cutting out certain food and you're like, you know, I'm not going to have bread, or I'm not going to have any kind of, I know like this was a big thing that went on. I don't hear about it as much anymore, but maybe like 10 years ago, which was like all like white carb sources. Like if it's a carb and it's white, I'm going to cut it out. Like white potatoes, white bread, white rice, all that. And A big issue with this is that now, like whenever you go in other situations, whether it's social or you go out to eat or, you know, it's a work party or something, you're constantly stressed about, oh, like, are they going to have some of these white carb sources, or are they going to have carbs in general when, you know, you're somebody who you're maybe trying to cut out all carbs, or are they going to have these certain foods that I'm not allowed to have? So you run into this issue of like having this anxiety around every scenario regarding food, unless you're like in your home where you can 100% control everything. So that's one big issue, is it just forms this like huge amount of anxiety around food wherever you go. And also too, the big thing about cutting out, you know, foods or food groups is that you don't have to. Like, it's arbitrary. It doesn't matter. And like whether or not you cut out bread at all or not doesn't matter with your progress. Like, you can include bread perfectly fine in a diet. You can include potatoes perfectly fine in a diet. Some of these other foods that, you know, people might be cutting out, you can like include perfectly well in a diet and still lose fat. Like, you know, if you've listened to any of these podcast lives or anything, like the big things that move fat loss forward are eating an appropriate amount of calories, getting an appropriate amount of protein, strength training, getting appropriate amount of steps, appropriate amount of fiber, eating a generally whole unprocessed diet with, you know, some fun foods mixed in there, and eating the right amount for your body to lose fat at a sustainable rate, along with having periods of maintenance built in so your body doesn't get run to the ground of being in a fat loss phase all the time. But that's what you need to successfully lose fat long term. You don't need to cut out specific foods. And I would say it actually like harms you in not only the psychological aspect regarding your relationship with food, but also physically. Because if you're cutting out, let's say, all carbs, there are a ton of beneficial vitamins and minerals that you could be getting from those carbs. And one big one is fiber. Fiber is, I'm sure you've probably heard of fiber, super good for us for digestive health, a ton of health benefits with cancer prevention, a ton of, especially colon cancer, a ton of health benefits regarding cholesterol, also helps us to manage blood sugar better, ton of health benefits regarding fiber. If you're cutting out all carbs, you're not going to get any fiber in your diet, because fiber is exclusive to carbs. Fiber is kind of a subcategory of carbohydrate, and it is only found in carbohydrates. So if you're cutting that out, that is one super beneficial nutrient from food that you could be getting in your diet if you did have carbs in there. So cutting out specific whole food groups or whole foods in general, especially if you end up cutting out a lot and following a lot of these like crazy rules out there, like cutting out carbs, no seed oils, no sugar at all this stuff, you're going to be left with eating just like only a couple of actual different foods. And you're probably going to lead to or deal with that leading to like not getting enough vitamins and minerals, you know, maybe being deficient in certain ones there, to where you're going to have low energy, more fatigue. And you could, even if it's really extreme, deal with some extreme health consequences from that too. So mistake number two is cutting out entire foods or food groups. Mistake number three is thinking that this kind of new year, 2024, is your kind of shining moment, in that everything in your life is going to change today. And this is kind of a hard one to like grasp, but because it comes with good intentions. Like, if you wake up one day and you're like, you know what, I'm sick and tired of living like this, I'm sick and tired of you know, being out of shape or having poor health or not having the body I want, and today's the day to make a change, it can help to spark some good behaviors. It can help to spark the change that you need to make to then start, you know, seeing progress and then snowballing into long-term progress. But, you know, that kind of thinking that this is going to be your shining moment is kind of what we see in the movies where, okay, like one day the main character wakes up and they realize like they made a mistake all along and they need to change. And then, you know, the dramatic music, Rocky music or something plays in the background, and they get all amped up and they have this montage of all this change they're making in their life, and then all of a sudden they come out on the other side, and the whole process within the movie lasts maybe like, you know, a few minutes, that montage, maybe even less than a few minutes, and then the whole process overall in the movie lasts, you know, 20 minutes. But the thing is, like, the movies don't show the ups and downs that you have throughout the journey. The movies don't show, like, you being really consistent for a few weeks and then maybe having a couple days where you fall off and you're frustrated with yourself and you feel like giving up, and maybe you do give up, but then you end up coming back to it. And then, you know, maybe you quote unquote slip up on another day and then come back to it the next day. Like, the movies don't show all of that, maybe some of it, but not all of it. And like this process of changing your body, changing your health and changing your life, It's not just this flip of a switch that you have and all of a sudden everything changes for you. It's, you know, doing these, I mean, to be quite honest, quite boring tasks each and every day, building them into your life as habits and slowly, gradually improving on them to where you get to the lifestyle you want and you get to the health that you want. So for example, like, you know, starting out with just tracking your food, creating awareness, starting out with walking a little bit more each day, starting off with kind of going back to the first example, like starting off with just a couple days of in the gym a week versus starting out with like this big rush of five, and then building, you know, after a couple months, building from a couple days in the gym to maybe three. And it's these small changes that add up that cause you to, like, over time dramatically change your life and dramatically change the person that you are. But it's not going to be a flip of the switch overnight. So I think a big mistake people make is like them thinking that, you know, seeing somebody else's transformation online, like seeing a highlight reel and thinking, oh, like this person woke up one day and changed their life overnight, and all of a sudden, like, they decided to make a change, and every single day they were, you know, spot on with their nutrition, spot on with their workouts for, you know, 6 months to a year straight and achieve this huge transformation. And most people's journeys aren't like that. Most people's journeys are more up and down, and it's not this big flip of a switch where it's a super dramatic change. So just kind of keep that in mind if you are starting this journey and, you know, you want to lose weight, lose body fat, and keep it off long term, is it's going to not feel like it probably seems like in the movies. It's going to feel like a slower process. It's going to probably feel like a little bit of a boring process along the way. So just kind of be open to that expectation versus thinking like you are going to, you know, one day wake up and now all of your habits are going to be changed for the rest of your life. Mistake number four is relying on workout buddies too much. Maybe one you weren't expecting me to bring up. I think workout buddies and accountability partners are amazing. I think they can be extremely helpful within your weight loss, fat loss, or fitness journey. But there are some downsides if the partnership or the accountability buddy isn't somebody who's going to maybe build you up when you feel like stopping, or it's not somebody who's going to hold you accountable or hold themselves accountable. Because if you're relying on like a workout buddy, like let's say, you know, you have somebody and you guys both talk and you're like, hey, we're going to go to the gym 3 days a week. We're going to go at these times during the day. We're going to work out together. We're going to be on track with our nutrition, right? That's great because you guys are going to help to hold each other accountable, hopefully. But if the person who's your accountability buddy, if they're somebody who's kind of dragging you down, or maybe they aren't consistent with sticking with their word, you know, it's Monday, you know, you guys plan to work out at 6 p.m. on Monday after work, and now it's 3 p.m. and they're like, you know what, like I'm feeling kind of tired. I don't really want to go. It's Monday. I want to push it off to tomorrow. And if you're going to fall into that and go along with them, what they want to do, then you're going to end up skipping your workout. And maybe they propose, okay, we'll go tomorrow, which, you know, if it happens every once in a while, isn't a big deal to push your workout to tomorrow. But what happens if tomorrow the same thing happens? If your accountability buddy says that, you know, something popped up and they can't go, whether it's justified or not, maybe it's them just not feeling like going. Maybe it's they have like some kind of work meeting or something that they have to state later so they can't go. But if you're always relying on somebody else to go to the gym with you in order for you to go and prioritize your goals, you're running the risk of falling victim to like their standards or their schedule or what they follow through with themselves. And, you know, this all works out if both people can hold each other accountable and actually go when they say they're going to go. But that, you know, example I just gave, that's where it can be tricky and it can maybe be not so helpful if you are overly relying on them. And same thing goes for nutrition too, right? Like if you guys are both tracking your food, you both have certain calorie goals, and then, you know, it's Friday and you guys plan to maybe go to a healthier restaurant or cook maybe at home together and have a movie night, and you guys are getting ready to cook, and then one person's like, hey, you want to just order pizza instead? And if they're your accountability buddy and they're suggesting ordering pizza and, you know, maybe not hitting your nutrition goals for that day, it's going to be really hard for you to kind of stick up for yourself almost and stick up for your goals and say, you know what, like, no, let's not get pizza. Like, no, you're probably going to fall into that trap of being like, you know what? Yeah, it's just one day, which, you know, if it is just one day, it's not a huge issue. But if it snowballs into multiple days, then it can be. So just be weary of if you are, you know, trying to go on this journey with whether it's a friend, a family member, or someone from work, and you guys are trying to hold each other accountable, make sure that there's a good balance of both of you really holding each other accountable. And make sure, like, you know, if you find yourself always being the one to have to pick them up all the time, then maybe it's a good option to find another workout buddy or just maybe rely on them less. And same thing goes the other direction. If you are the person who constantly needs picked up from your workout buddy and they need to constantly motivate you, then that there's some, you know, internal looking that you need to do on yourself and improve that. Now everyone needs like a pick me up here and there, which is why like people hire coaches, right? This is why I work with, you know, the clients that I do, is because everyone needs some accountability. But if they're not your coach and you're not hiring them, or if they aren't paying you to lift them up all the time, then there should be a balance between you guys kind of lifting each other up here and there and holding yourself accountable. So just be wary of, you know, overly relying on other people to hold you accountable if they're not able to do that, and vice versa. So tip number five, or not tip, I keep saying tip, mistake number five that people make when it comes to their fat loss journeys, and that you probably might be making, is overcomplicating your meals or food choices. And this is a huge thing that I see with clients when they first start out with my program, is they like have all these food rules in their heads of they can't eat this, they can't eat that, they can't eat that. And they overcomplicate the like meal choice part of everything. And they're like, I don't even know what kind of meals to put together. Or they're looking up on Pinterest these like quote unquote healthy recipes that are labeled on there, or looking on Google for like healthy recipes. And they find like these recipes that say they're healthy and they have like 15 or 20 ingredients with them. They take 45 minutes to an hour to prepare. And it's just something that's way overly complicated. And I find so many people do that because they just don't know where to start. But your meals and your food choices do not have to be super complicated. There are three main components that you want to have in a meal to really simplify things: a protein, a carb, and a veggie. Like those are the three components. If your meal has a protein, a carb, and a veggie, then that is an overall a very good balanced meal. Now, the portion sizes of each will have to be manipulated based on your specific goals and how many calories and protein you specifically need to see progress. But the actual meal composition, protein, carbs, and veggie, like that sets you up for success. And you can at times replace the veggies with a fruit too, protein, carbs, and fruits. A lot of fruits can be lumped in the carb category as well, depending on what kind of fruit you're having. So making sure you try to include veggies, even if you do have some fruits, is probably a good idea. But following that simple format, like you don't have to overcomplicate things. Like it doesn't have to be, you know, some kind of special organic meal, special organic you know, food item you buy from the store. You don't have to worry about, oh, does this have like antibiotics or whatever people are throwing out there. Like, you don't have to worry about any of that. Protein, carb, veggie, make sure the portion size allows you to hit your total calories and protein at the end of the day, and you're set. And another kind of mistake that kind of goes along with the overcomplicating the meals and food choices part of things is people think they have to, or people at least try to, have all these like different meals that they make all the time. And they're like, okay, like Monday I'll like put together this breakfast. Tuesday I'll have this lunch. Or not Tuesday, but Monday I'll have this lunch. Monday I'll have this dinner. And then Tuesday rolls around and they're like, okay, like what's something else I can have for breakfast? What's something else I can have for lunch? What's something else I can have for dinner? And then Wednesday rolls around and they're like, okay, what's something else I can have for breakfast then? And they are constantly changing up their meals every single day. Now, I'm not saying you need to eat the same exact thing every single day like a robot, but if you can keep your breakfast the same, your lunch the same, and any snacks that you have, like a high protein snack throughout the day, if you can keep all of that the exact same, at least Monday through Friday, and then the only meal Monday through Friday you're changing is dinner, you will be set up for so much success. Because if you're somebody tracking their calories, tracking their protein, and have set ranges that you're shooting for to see progress, if you're having the same breakfast, lunch, and snack leading up to dinner, you're going to have the same amount of calories and the same amount of protein left over for dinner every single day, because you're going to be taking up the same amount from your breakfast, lunch, and snacks that you had before then. So you're going to have the same amount left over for dinner every single day. So being flexible and having some variability with dinner isn't as stressful, because you know, oh, every time when I go into dinner, I'm going to have roughly, you know, 700 calories left and roughly 30 grams of protein left to hit. So it makes dinner not as stressful, because you already know exactly how many calories and protein you're going to have left for that meal. And then you can be flexible with, you know, what you're making or how, what the portion size looks like, you know, with your family, with your kids in that way. And another benefit of repeating the same breakfast, lunch, and snack at least Monday through Friday is that it allows you to kind of go on autopilot the entire week with your nutrition, at least for, you know, those first meals of the day. You don't have to think constantly, you know, wake up in the morning, what am I going to have for breakfast? What am I going to have for lunch? Like, you already have that planned out. You already have that decided. And the less decisions we actually have to make regarding, you know, our fitness journey, especially when it comes to nutrition, the better. The more consistent our routine is, the more automatic things are going to be, the less we're going to have to think or stress about it, the less you have to play quote unquote macro or calorie Tetris of like putting together all these meals, and you're not going to be left with, you know, choosing a random lunch and not really knowing how many calories it's going to be until you put it in and then you realize, oh, like it's way more than I thought. And now I only have 400 or 300 calories left for dinner and now I'm starving, you know, in the evening. So it just allows you to have so much more structure in the beginning, you know, 2/3 of your day. So then when you do have that variability or variety or flexibility at the end of your day, it doesn't feel as overwhelming to try to, you know, make things fit then, because you weren't playing this game of trying to make everything fit throughout the whole entire day. You just kept with that same routine. And it also like makes logging so much easier too, like logging your food in MyFitnessPal, because everything's already decided and you can just go in MyFitnessPal, copy your lunch, copy your breakfast, copy your snack, and just hit paste and transfer it over to every single other day of the week. So you spend maybe, you know, a minute or 2 minutes in MyFitnessPal in the evening putting together your dinner that might be different every night, but your breakfast, lunch, and snacks are already decided for the rest of the day. So that's kind of the fifth big mistake that people make, is overcomplicating their meals, thinking they have to be something like really crazy, special, put together. They have to have all these special ingredients. And then also kind of going along with that is that people choose different meals or foods for every single meal throughout the week. When if you can keep the same meal structure, the same meal routine for breakfast, lunch, and any snacks leading up to dinner, you're going to save yourself a lot of headache and you're not going to be, you're going to be able to go on autopilot and it's going to be so much easier to hit your goals there. So hopefully this was helpful going over these five big mistakes. Definitely let me know if there are any of these that you have been making yourself, or if you've made in the past and you've made the switch and it has made things so much easier for you. So Yeah, I think that's it for this one. Appreciate you all. Make sure, you know, to leave a 5-star review. Share this on your Instagram or Facebook stories. You know, if you found it helpful, share it with a friend. Appreciate all the support, and I will see you guys in the next one.